A number of colleges and universities are moving beyond one of the most basic elements they've used to determine whether a student has what it takes to be accepted for enrollment. Basic scores on the SAT are no longer being taken at face value in quite the same way. As part of an environmental context dashboard, there's a so-called adversity score or adversity index that may provide context for a student's SAT score. So how is that going to affect applicants and overall enrollment? Eric Hoover of the Chronicle of Higher Education has done extensive reporting on the topic and is with me. Eric, how relevant does the SAT continue to be?
Still very relevant for applicants who are hoping to get admission at one of the most selective colleges or universities in the country. More and more colleges are no longer requiring the ACT or SAT, but as you go on up the ladder of selectivity and prestige, nearly all of those institutions still require students to take one or both of those tests.
All right, now the adversity index, where does that come into play and how would you define it?
The adversity index is designed to give colleges a better sense of where students are coming from. And I mean that literally as well as figuratively. So the adversity index, as it's called, is really just giving admissions offices a tool, kind of shorthand tool for gauging various metrics of disadvantage or hardship that a given student has come from. This is looking at their background. The number isn't really attached to that student himself or herself, if you will, but it's meant to give admissions offices who are overwhelmed with applications and ever more pressed for time a quick gauge of education level, the opportunities that a student has at his or her high school.
So a quick gauge, is it meant to be a fairer gauge potentially?
I think it goes to this point, Steve, and that is the most selective institutions are concerned about not just what an applicant has achieved, they're also trying to better understand the context for those achievements. So you and I might have both taken five advanced placement courses in our junior year of high school. But at your high school, there were only five offered. And at mine, there were 18 offered. Does that mean that one of us is better than the other? No, not necessarily. But having that contextual background, a little bit better understanding of the yardstick that might make sense to measure one applicant's success might not be the best yardstick to use when looking at another applicant based on the varying levels of advantage that we know so many students bring to the table.
Eric, to some extent, I mean, I definitely see that point, but I'm also struck by the fact that with universities being bombarded by applications and trying to figure it out, it almost feels like once we get into really learning more about a student's background or, as you mentioned, some of the advantages or disadvantages a student may have had at a particular school, it almost feels like that is potentially too much information for the university, even if it's more valid information. Does that in and of itself create any complications?
It's a good question. I do think the C word in this case, the context, really is something that admissions offices are trying to get a better handle on, a fuller picture of an applicant. We know that the most selective institutions practice something called holistic admissions review. And so not just these numbers and letters attached to our names, our grades and our test scores, but more about the applicants themselves. So yes, it does bring another level of complexity and another layer of detail to look at. But I don't think most admissions folks would say it's TMI, too much information. Most colleges that are using this tool to gauge adversity so far would say, sure, it's a little more detail, it's a little more information, but that's a good thing that helps them do their jobs and make decisions and not a bad thing.
So how much do colleges and universities need this going forward, because we're just seeing changes in higher education, whether it's more diversity, whether it's fewer people going the traditional route or choosing their own path? Is this something that, however it works out initially, makes sense that there needs to be sort of an innovative look at this and not just rely on ACT, SAT?
Yeah, I think nuance is something that admissions folks in the time frame that they have, which is a very limited window of time, nuance is something that admissions offices generally want to embrace. And so I think the schools that are using this so far, the colleges that are using this, feel like it adds a helpful dash of nuance. So far, admissions folks that are using this feel like it's really just a tool used on the margins to make some fine distinctions among handfuls of applicants. This is not taking over the core work of college admissions. But to your point, it does give you a better picture of that immense diversity, not only among students coming in, but also it's a reminder that we have so many different types of institutions.
When it comes to this kind of change, this specific change, how impactful a point in time do you think this is? Is this going to be seen as potentially kind of a blip, or does this indicate more of the direction we're going to see from higher education?
I would say probably more of a blip, again, because this new tool is really just building upon something that many highly selective colleges already do, which is to dig down into census level data, neighborhood level data, and try to figure out, okay, where does a student fit in? How do we think about their achievements in a more nuanced way? But all the forces that work against the consideration of nuance and often diversity, they're not going away just because there's a new tool. The battle for prestige, the sincere wish by many folks who lead colleges and universities to move up in the rankings, to game the system in many cases, I just don't see those forces ebbing anytime soon. Even among the most elite institutions who seem to have everything going for them, there's this constant jockeying for position. So I think the real question is which institutions embrace diversity more broadly and finance that commitment in a meaningful way, and which do not.
Eric Hoover is a reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education.